Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are getting set to go through Tesla's Q4 earnings report. We've got a few minutes until that does come out. If you're joining afterwards, you can check the timestamps down below to skip ahead to when that earnings report actually does come out. Until then, for those of you that are live, we'll hang out, chat about some things, hit our usual refresh button 1,000 times, and go from there. We'll take a quick look at earnings estimates. One thing to mention too, I will have the earnings call on the channel as well. That'll start at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. There is a link to that down in the description as well. So I'd recommend tuning in for that. We'll go through, do the same little live blog process so as to not interrupt the call and then have thoughts after that as well. So, last earnings call for 2022. It's exciting to see how the year wraps up. Of course, the probably biggest part of this earnings report, as we talked about yesterday, where margins settle in for Q4 if we're starting from a higher base before we have these bigger price cuts. In the first quarter, that'll mean good things for the rest of 2023. If we're starting from a lower base, it's obviously going to be more of a challenge. So we'll see where we come in that regard. And then, of course, kind of a lot of eyes in the Tesla community on Tesla's margins for Tesla Energy as well. All right, let's flip over to Excel. We've got just a few minutes here before market does close, and we'll see some of the expectations that we had set yesterday. So let me flip over. We can just go through some of that here quickly. All right, looks like that's all good. So when we do get the actuals, of course, we'll go through the letter first together, then we'll come back to Excel, everyone's favorite part. Enter these numbers in, see how they compare to quarter over quarter, year over year, and to expectations. Obviously, the biggest thing with these expectations, as we talk about every quarter, is just to get a better understanding of, what the numbers mean. Not necessarily trying to get everything spot on. Every forecast is going to be wrong in some direction, but trying to understand what expectations should be and what those numbers, as we get them, mean going forward, which is obviously always the most important part of the earnings reports. Let me try and fix my camera here a little bit. Looks like it's cutting me off a little bit. So while we've got some time before the call, just gonna try and straighten that out. I am still getting things set up here as we work through transitioning to a new place. So let me see if this works a bit better. All right, hopefully that's a little bit better. We'll see. Hope you guys bear with me. Hopefully the audio is okay. I think we got the levels sorted out pretty well here. Yeah, we'll see. Let's see. Just checking the chats, making sure everything is going okay. Thanks, Lily, for the super chat. I appreciate that. Try to keep an eye out there for questions. It's always hard to manage everything that's coming in and all those questions as well. Thanks, Lyle. Appreciate that. Means a lot. So if you didn't see it yesterday, the expectations I've got a top line beat 24 billion versus 23.7 for analysts. The beat there is coming from energy sales and services. I'm actually below on automotive, so expecting a little bit lower average selling price than Wall Street consensus. And I'm actually expecting lower automotive gross margins as well for probably one of the first times ever. Interesting to see that, but making up a little bit on energy and service. Still though, my total gross margin is lacking. That flows through to operating margin as well. And then at the bottom line, I am actually a little bit higher, but as we had talked about yesterday, that's because for some reason taxes are forecast relatively high. If we look at the quarter over quarter increase in operating income relative to the increase in tax, it's about 10% what the analysts are expecting in terms of operating income increase versus about 65% increase in taxes. So we'll see on that. Let's see. Oh, thank you, Winston. Appreciate that. Let's flip back to the browser here, and then we can see if we've got any movement on that earnings report yet. It's going to be an interesting one. It always is, but this time, especially rounding out 2022 and with all of the volatility that we have had, both in the markets and with Tesla, it's going to be interesting. So flip back to the browser. Hopefully that's still all right. And let's see where we closed. Looks like we're up about a third of a percent. Of course, my computer's being real slow right now. Thanks for those super chats, guys. John, appreciate that. Long time listener there. All right, let's get it going here, computer. So yeah, up about 0.4%, closing at $144.43. The Nasdaq down 0.2%. So a similar outperformance to what we had seen yesterday. But of course, none of that may matter until we do get this earnings report. So we'll kick off our first refresh here. We'll keep an eye on after hours movement just to kind of see. That often is our first indicator of something being released is a bigger jump after hours. So let's see. Flip over to Twitter. Sometimes I have to go here and get the report from here because for whatever reason, mine doesn't update. Tesla out. Not believing that yet. Seems like half these people saying things like that are just trolling, but I don't think we've got anything yet. Just some ads, even though Twitter blew. Make that money though, Elon. So we'll just kind of keep an eye out here. Let me see if I had any questions here in these super chats. How much do you think Tesla is going to meme down to tomorrow before it comes back up again? Good question, I guess. Oftentimes after earnings, the initial reaction, just like kind of what we've seen for Fed meetings in the past, doesn't necessarily tend to be the best gauge for how things end up looking following earnings in the week or so following, I guess I would say. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. What are the consensus estimates? 98 cents on a GAAP basis is the consensus, but again, that's offset by a couple things. I think in reality, consensus is a little bit lower than that, but then there's that weird tax thing throwing the consensus a little bit lower. So it's a little strange. Oh, now I got people in this chat that I think are trolling me too. Someone's saying huge miss. We'll see. Someone saying it's out. Beat by 20%. Come on, Tesla. Update. I'm going to start having to ban people in the chat that give me misleading information if it's not actually out. Hi, Jeff. Great timing there. All right, someone that is hopefully being honest in the chat. Oh, let's skip by that. I think that was an ad. A lot of ads in search, interesting. More ads in search than we're seeing in the actual timelines, I feel like. Super chat here. Elon said that he would go with selling cars even at a loss in the worst case scenario to gain market share and keep growth going. Would you agree with this? Elon, I feel like, tends to kind of take things to an extreme to kind of make a point. I don't think Tesla would end up in that scenario of having to sell cars at a loss. Oh, here we go. So we'll pause on that question and open up the deck here. Out just downloading. I'm in the same situation. Seems like everybody might be. Not a lot of movement yet. Go back. Try a new tab. All right, well, we're all just waiting here to see if this downloads. Stock is skyrocketing. I wouldn't say that. Up 2/3%. You guys got to be nicer to me in the chat. This is hard enough. Still relatively flat. I've got a little bit of a jump there. I don't know. Is anyone getting it to load yet? I think everyone's in the same boat. It's not seeming to load for anybody. Come on, Martin. We need this out. At least everyone seems to be in the same boat. I feel like my camera is still cutting me off a little bit. I'll just need to sit up straight this whole time, I guess. My microphone's a little bit lower, so naturally I tend to go to that. All right, starting to load for some people. There we go. All right, so we've got our report here. 16.8% operating margins. That's right on analyst expectations minus, or wait, yeah, I think mine was a little bit low there. Let's see. Total revenues, so 300 million higher than my expectations, higher than analyst consensus. GAAP gross margin, automotive gross margin, I think is higher than what I am at, but let's see. Oh, regulatory credits. Okay, so that's significantly higher than what I was at. A couple hundred million there for regulatory credits. So my automotive gross margin, let's see. See if we can get some energy numbers here. We may just have to flip over and start filling stuff out to see how this stuff is comparing. It's a little bit tough to say. Okay, what's going on there? Oh, that's a total year. I was seeing $3.60 there. All right, so bottom line, we've got $1.07 on a GAAP basis, so slightly ahead of my expectations, but pretty close, and then $1.19 on a non-GAAP basis. So looks like things are coming in roughly in line with expectations. Operating margin 16%, so they must have said full year. Okay, so full year operating margin 16.8%. So right now I'm just going to kind of assume that most of the numbers are directionally in line with what I had forecast. We'll have to come back and see, but let's just read through the rest of the note here. All right, so looks like they're talking total revenue quarter over quarter up 37%. Again, a little bit boosted by regulatory credits. We've got growth in vehicle deliveries, growth in other parts of the business, increase in average selling price year over year, excluding foreign exchange impacts, including favorable impact of model and regional mix, negative foreign exchange impact of $1.4 billion. Okay, so we talked about that as a huge question mark on yesterday's preview. So we'll have to see how much that is for this quarter specifically. And then for profitability, growth in average selling price, excluding foreign exchange and vehicle deliveries, despite margin headwind from underutilization of new factories, of course, Berlin and Texas. Gross profit growth in other parts of the business. So we'll have to see what energy came in at. FSD revenue recognition of $324 million. Okay, so that's in automotive sales. So that is actually boosting the revenue line as well, in addition to the increase in regulatory credits. Lower stock-based compensation, and then offset profitability, higher raw materials, commodities, logistics, and warranty costs, cost of production ramp of 4680s, negative foreign exchange impact of over $300 million. So big hit there for the quarter from FX. Cash quarter end, cash and equivalents increased $1.1 billion to $22.2. So I think that's below expectations, but we'll see what happened there. Free cash flow, $1.4 billion. Okay, so it looks like they repaid some debt, $500 million of debt, which I think is more than they had outstanding in terms of sort of unsecured debt. We'll have to see. Maybe they bought back some leasing-backed debt or something like that. All right, so production, vehicle deliveries, both in line with what we had previously noted. I was hoping maybe they would put the semi deliveries on here, but nothing on semis either. Unfortunately, maybe that's somewhere else in the note. Vehicle inventory increased to 13 days of supply. We had already calculated that, so no surprise there. Solar deployed 100 megawatts, so I was at 105, I believe. And then storage deployed about 2.5 gigawatt hours. So slightly below my expectations. And hopefully that, at least for the time being, quells some of the excitement on the Megapack ramp up, just to get that a little bit back in line with expectations, kind of as we have talked about. So all right, let's look here. This is going to be total year type of stuff. So you can see the total production increase. We've already talked through all of those types of numbers. Global vehicle inventory on a days of supply basis is going to be higher when it's calculated on an annual basis because the calculation is going to be different. So you can see at the bottom there, they'll talk about 300 trading days versus up on the quarterly numbers, that's going to speak to just 75 trading days for the fourth quarter. All right, vehicle capacity, installed annual vehicle capacity, 100,000 for SNX. I don't know if that was any different from last time. Let's just quickly take a peek there, pull up this chart from Q3. So we're looking at Q3 here. Sometimes it's a little tricky to remember this. So Q3 right there, I'll try to not cover up anything. That's Q4 loading again. All right, so 100,000 for SNX. So that is, All right, so let me just make sure I'm on the right track here. This is the Q4 report. Yes. Sorry about that, guys. All right, so 100,000 for SNX, 550,000 for 3NY in California. So that matches. greater than 750,000 in Shanghai. So that matches 250,000, greater than 250,000 for Berlin and Texas for Model Y. So I believe those match. Yep. Cybertruck tooling, Tesla Semi pilot production at Nevada. So that's going to be a little bit different. Early production is what it said last time. It actually did say Nevada last time too, interestingly. And then Roadster and Robotaxi and others, both TBD and in development. So looks like that's entirely the same except for Semi going to pilot production versus early production last time. So minor change there. All right, let's read through their notes here. In Q4, each of our vehicle factories produced a record number of vehicles. We continued a gradual shift towards a more even regional mix of both production and deliveries, unwinding the wave a bit. While in the second quarter of 2022, the third month of the quarter accounted for 74% of vehicle deliveries, that number fell to 64% in Q3 and 51% in Q4. So unwinding the wave, but obviously some of those, oh yeah, percent of vehicle deliveries, okay. So that wouldn't have anything to do with additional production above deliveries. It's just percent of deliveries that are delivering. I guess though, having more vehicles come into production would naturally smooth that out a little bit too. So we're working to reduce the percentage of vehicles delivered in the third month and smooth deliveries throughout the quarter, which will help reduce cost per vehicle. The Model Y production line in Austin produced over 3,000 vehicles in a week towards the end of Q4. We knew about that. In Q4, we produced enough in-house 4680 cells in a single week to make over 1,000 battery packs. We knew about that. Pilot production of Tesla Semi commenced in Q4, the first deliveries occurring. So we knew about those things. Shanghai production and delivery challenges in 2022 were largely concentrated in China. Since our Shanghai factory has been successfully running near full capacity for several months, we do not expect meaningful sequential volume increases in the near term. Gigafactory Shanghai remains our main export hub, supplying vehicles to most markets outside of North America. All right, so interesting, especially since we did have a little bit of production downtime there in December. That lowered Q4 output from what it could have been, and Tesla is still saying, hey, we're not expecting huge sequential increases there in Shanghai. So looks like they're maybe taking more aggressive growth plans that could have been had for Shanghai, perhaps dialing those back a little bit, which, you know, maybe a move given the economy. I know Elon's probably going to say some things different than that and, you know, still full speed ahead on future growth. And I think that is accurate when we look holistically at the company, but maybe in some spots, you know, tempering things a little bit during this period of time. Europe. So the Model Y production line in Germany produced over 3,000 vehicles in a week towards the end of Q4. I knew about that as well. We introduced two new multi-layer paint colors. So we know about those as well. All right. Core technology. Autopilot and FSD. We have now released FSD beta to nearly all customers in the US and Canada who bought FSD, approximately 400,000 drivers. It's an important milestone for our company. Every customer in the US and Canada can now access FSD beta functionality upon purchase/subscription and start experiencing the evolution of AI-powered autonomy. So we see the cumulative miles on FSD beta. Nice little up ramp there, but it is also from adding new fleet members in. So not necessarily the miles driven per car on FSD beta increasing. That would be interesting to see, but as they add more vehicles to the fleet, that's gonna increase the miles there dramatically. So probably more interesting if Tesla shares this next time around where that sort of trend line goes. All right, this year, annual holiday release, Zoom, Apple Music, something about Sentry Mode. I think we've talked about all those things. Battery powertrain and manufacturing. We are particularly focused on vehicle costs during this period of macroeconomic uncertainty, high interest rates, thus higher vehicle financing, and vehicle price deflation. We continue to focus on cost efficiencies while improving functionality and reliability. While cost-efficient manufacturing of EVs is still rare across most of the industry, it is critical for profitability at scale and will ultimately determine long-term success of OEMs. All right, so let's see. Miles driven per accident. So this is the safety data that we have gone through previously when Tesla published that a couple of weeks ago. All right, energy storage. So nice little ramp there, as we can see in annual deployments. Energy storage deployments increased 152% year over year to 2.5 gigawatt hours in the fourth quarter, total of 6.5 gigawatt hours in 2022, by far the highest level of deployments we have achieved. Demand for our storage product remains in excess of our ability to supply, ramping up 40 gigawatt hour Megapack factory in Lathrop. Okay, all stuff we knew. Solar deployments up 18% year over year to 100 megawatts, one of the strongest quarters in recent years. Despite supply chain challenges, we deployed 348 megawatts of solar in 2022, highest since 2017. So really nice to see that happen again, especially with some of the tailwinds for solar in the Inflation Reduction Act. That should help that business continue to grow if Tesla is able to sort of dedicate the time and energy that it needs to do that. Services and others, talked a lot about that. All-time highs, much of the profit by used cars. Used car ASPs declined sequentially in Q4. Our used car margins remained healthy. Okay. Interesting. All right. Guidance. Let's see. We are planning to grow production as quickly as possible in alignment with the 50% compound annual growth target we began guiding to in early 2021. In some years, we may grow faster. Some we may grow slower, depending on the number of factors. For 2023, we expect to remain ahead of the long-term 50% compound annual growth rate with around 1.8 million cars for the year. So I think that puts them right around 50% for this year. But again, they're reiterating, hey, this is a long-term target. Can't really highlight very well. This is a long-term target. And they're kind of establishing the baseline of that long-term target from 2021, re-anchoring on it, which we have talked about. Elon kind of did that on Twitter before the Q4 report. So I think that's good, but it is nice that they give us something there in terms of what to expect for this year specifically. Cash, nothing there. Strong balance sheet. Profit, we continue to execute on innovations to reduce cost. Continue to believe that our operating margin will remain the highest among volume OEMs. And products. Cybertruck remains on track to begin production later this year at Gigafactory Texas. Our next generation vehicle platform is under development with additional details to be shared at Investor Day. All right. So second time they've kind of highlighted that, but really interesting to hear that called out as sort of the next milestone for when this is going to be talked about. Usually an Investor Day wouldn't be sort of like a product unveiling. Tesla, if they were, you know, sticking to the script from previous unveilings, they would have an event for it specifically rather than an Investor Day. So interesting to hear about that, and I'm sure we'll see why the different structure there at that event, but should be very exciting. All right, some beautiful shots of Giga Berlin here. Paint shop, Megapack factory, stamping presses at Shanghai, body shop, Giga Nevada, Tesla Semi, 4680s, and a lot of beautiful growth charts. All right. All right, average selling prices versus operating margins here. Just trying to absorb this a little bit. Okay, so they're talking about how over time, their average selling prices have declined. Obviously, since the introduction of Model 3 and Model Y in 2019, it's been declining, but a little bit more slowly than the rapid declines we saw when a new generation is introduced. Hopefully, when we get another Gen 3 platform, we can see that ramp down a little bit, and then the same sort of trend continue where operating margins then continue to increase with a lower cost basis vehicle. So this, I think, is smart of Tesla to share this at this time as people are concerned with price declines. Tesla just noting that, hey, price declines historically, declines in average selling prices historically have not, you know, sort of slashed operating margins. So we'll see if that can continue. All right, and then here's a little bit more information on that growth target. So 50% CAGR, anchoring on 2020 as the base year. Tesla saying, hey, if we anchor to that, it would result in 1.7 million being the target for 2023 off of 2020, not reestablishing that base every single year. So up for 2020 into 2023, looks like that would put it at about 1.7. Tesla saying, hey, we think we're going to stay ahead of that target, do about 1.8 million this year. Note, we expect to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle production over a multi-year time horizon, although not necessarily on a yearly basis. So again, I think that's probably as good as Tesla could have handled that sort of communication. You know, this is has been what it has been since the beginning, 50% long-term annual growth. But again, each year they get into it and end up guiding for that specific year too. So I think Tesla's given us that specific year guidance while also reiterating what their sort of long-term intent has been. All right, and then we've got more numbers. So, looks like things just probably pretty close to as expected here. Let's see what the market's doing. It's flat. All right, so yeah, I guess as expected, which I'll take at this point. Obviously, the stock has run up 40% in the last few months, or I guess the last month or so. So for us to not give some of that back, we'll see how the call goes. That can always change things, but I guess good to see some stability there after hours right now. And now for everyone's favorite part of the day, let's flip over and get some numbers in, which will help us understand this a little bit better. I guess we could have read the summary. Let's do that quick, and then we can get back over into Excel. All right, so another record-breaking quarter. 2020 is another record-breaking year. In the last quarter, we achieved the highest ever quarterly revenue, operating income, and net income in our history. 2022, revenue grew 51% to $81.5 billion. GAAP net income more than doubled to 12.5. As we progress into 2023, we know there are questions about the near-term impact of an uncertain macroeconomic environment, and in particular with rising interest rates. The Tesla team is used to challenges, given the culture required to get the company to where it is today. Love that line. In the near term, we are accelerating our cost reduction roadmap and driving towards higher production rates while staying focused on executing against the next phase of our roadmap. So great to hear that. Average selling prices have generally been on a downward trajectory for many years. Improving affordability is necessary to become a multi-million vehicle producer. While average selling prices have, between 2017 and 2022, our operating margin consistently improved from approximately negative 14% to positive 17% in the same period. This margin expansion was achieved through introduction of lower cost models built out of localized, more efficient factories, vehicle cost reduction, and operating leverage. In any case, we are prepared for short-term uncertainty while being focused on the long-term potential of autonomy, electrification, and energy solutions. Our relentless cost control and cost innovation is why we believe that no other OEM is better equipped to navigate through 2023 and ultimately succeed in the long run than we are. All right. Again, I wish I would have read that right away. Next mental note for next time, read the summary first. But I think a good job there from Tesla of summarizing what was a little bit of a difficult quarter for them with the discounting at the end of the quarter, and obviously some difficulties here heading into next year, or I guess this year. All right. Now let's put some numbers in. Let me flip over here. This will be as efficient as I can make it, which is not very. Well, I'll do my best, as I always do. All right. So vehicle deliveries, no change on that one, I don't believe. All right, let me just get to the proper spot on the report here. Go down here, that's going to be 100, and that's going to be 21,307 million. But again, 467 million there in regulatory credits. So I was basically half of what they ended up recognizing there. That's going to explain the majority of the difference between my revenue forecast for automotive sales and the actual numbers there. So I would have loved if the numbers came in higher, but I'm glad that my forecast was relatively accurate there on ASPs, since that's a really tricky one to nail down. Not giving myself too much credit there. It's difficult and mostly a result of luck. Energy, let's scroll down here. Gotta find that one towards the bottom. All right, so that was 1.310 billion. So I was 3% too high, analysts 17% too low on energy. Services and others, we were at 1701, so it's a bit high there. I was 4% high, analysts 7% too low. So my revenue expectation, 1% too low, almost entirely explained by the difference in regulatory credits. Analyst consensus, 3% too low. All right, automotive profit. So here we've got to subtract out the costs. So we'll do this, and we'll subtract out. Make sure I've got the right number there. Get our energy profit in here. 1151. And then we'll take a look at services and others. 1605. Looks like pretty healthy margin there on services and others. All right, so let's look at the margin numbers then, and then we'll continue on through the rest of the numbers. Automotive gross margin, so again, in line with analyst consensus. Let's make sure that this is correct. All right, bear with me one second. I think I've got a formula error here. Oops. Sorry, guys. The last thing you want to do. All right, well, that's going to stay. There we go. Okay, so automotive gross margin X credits, 25.9. As I said, probably the first thing to pay attention to. So kind of right in between analyst consensus and my forecast. So I'm glad to see. It looks like I was relatively close on average selling prices, excluding regulatory credits. And then the automotive gross margin coming in a little bit below, or a little bit above my expectations, but below analyst consensus. To me, that's a positive. As I said, I think that the reality is that this number was probably lower in terms of what the most recent expectations have been, because I don't think that every single analyst probably updated properly for all the discounting that we saw in the US at the end of the quarter. But 25.9%, that means Tesla's got a pretty healthy base to build off of from here. And remember, there was that $300 million negative impact from foreign exchange within the quarter. So if you factor out foreign exchange, which this number would include, then hopefully we're starting from an even higher base from that. Maybe there's some tailwinds for foreign exchange that'll come back next year. But we'll have to see on that. Hopefully at least not as significant of headwinds. Tesla mentioning at $1.4 billion there, that's definitely going to add up throughout the year. All right, and then energy gross margin improving sequentially by about 310 basis points, up significantly year over year, about 20% higher than last year. A little bit higher than my forecast, decent beat on analyst consensus as well. And then services and others, although Tesla's gross margin on average selling prices on used vehicles declined, which is why I was forecasting a slightly lower gross margin for services and others. Even though that declined, they were able to increase their services and others gross margin, which is good because that revenue, as it grows and becomes a bigger part of the business, which it actually did this year, if you look at the 60% growth rate in this quarter versus automotive sales, 33%, that means this is becoming a larger portion of the business. And as it does that, the margin mix, it weighs the margin down more significantly. So if Tesla can have that a little bit above break even, as that business grows and becomes a more sizable chunk of the business, it's important to keep that sort of, close to the rest of the business line margins. Otherwise, it's going to drag it down even more. So 25.2%, obviously Tesla beating on all my margin expectations, pretty slightly on services and energy, and then more significantly on automotive, but a lot of that coming from regulatory credits. I'm not sure if I change this, if this will calc the difference. Looks like it doesn't. So we can come back to that. All right, let's look at the operating expenses then. Let me find that on the income statement as well. All right, so we've got 810 in R&D. So right on my forecast there. SG&A, we've got 1032, pretty close there. Bitcoin impairments, let me just see if I can quickly search for that. I think some of you guys have been able to spot that on here quicker than me in the past. I don't know that I'll be able to find that. But it looks like we've got $34 million in restructuring and other, so I'm just going to assume that that's Bitcoin. So that's right where I was expecting that as well. So operating expenses, 1876 versus 1858. So that was 1% too low, I guess. Analyst, 3% too high. And then operating income, again, half of this beat being driven by the regulatory credit increase, and half of it coming from natural automotive gross margins. I guess a little bit from the other margins, energy and service margins as well. Looks like that was about $40 million, $200 million then from the regulatory credits, and then, $160 million or so from, $150 to $200 million from automotive gross margin beat. So actually an increase in operating margin, which is definitely not what I was expecting. Again, driven a lot by the regulatory credits, but for Tesla to be able to show that during this period of time where they had such huge discounting is pretty cool. It's so sad because if Tesla hadn't had to do that at the end of the quarter, we probably would have been, I don't know, half a billion, $750 million, maybe higher on all these margin lines, and then this quarter would have looked extremely exceptional. It still is a pretty exceptional quarter, driven by some of these things that are maybe not scalable in terms of regulatory credit growth, So far, they have sort of been scalable, but Tesla was pretty close here to having a really outstanding quarter, and I would still view this, given all the circumstances, as a pretty strong result. And I'm very happy with the cost control that we saw. All right, EBITDA, let's talk about that. This document does not let me search through it. Scroll all the way back up here. All right, that's annual. Dang it. I'm only finding the annual EBITDA at the moment, so bear with me. All right, there we go. So 5404. Stock-based compensation. Scroll back down. Again, everybody's favorite part here. So 419 there, so a little bit higher than I expected. I don't know if they broke out CEO compensation this time around. We have to wait for the 10-Q for that, so I'll just skip over that for the time being. GAAP net income, or I guess non-GAAP net income here. GAAP net income. Almost done with the numbers. All right, so that's again an annual number. 3687. Yeah, I don't know what the tax thing here with the analyst was. That doesn't seem at all correct. I guess it's a little bit higher than what I had, but so was operating margin. All right, and then earnings per share. So we had $1.07 here and $1.19 here. So beating by 5 or 6 or 7 cents, beating analyst consensus by 9 cents. And then free cash flow, I think it was just 1.4 billion. But remember, as we talked about yesterday, Tesla produced a lot more vehicles than they sold or delivered in the quarter. So that was 1420. And then this FSD beta. Oh, well, maybe I have to take back some of my comments then, because I think the average selling prices there are boosting, as I said at the beginning, but then forgot about getting boosted by that FSD beta deferred revenue, and that's gonna also influence this. So if we have, 354 million there, let's see. I don't think I have my sheet open to calculate that, but if I can maybe take a rough stab at this, I think that adds 11 cents, roughly. So if we take that out of GAAP earnings, we'd be at 96 cents. So couple cents short of consensus estimates if we factor out that. And then you got to also factor in that the regulatory credits were a little bit higher. So a little bit less strong than what I was kind of thinking a couple seconds ago. That operating margin obviously boosted by regulatory credits, boosted by that deferred revenue recognition, which, it's that is rec revenue that Tesla has earned and should be recognized, but it's earned over a long period of time, not just in this one quarter. So if you put it into one quarter, then it's obviously going to inflate that one quarter's numbers. So in general, we should probably be backing that out, at least a sizable majority of it, and distributing that. It should still sort of count in the, maybe not the trailing 12 months earnings, maybe half of that's from the trailing 12 months, but should be, to be fair, some of that should be excluded. But that being said, let's just calc here quick the trailing 12 months earnings and the sort of earnings for the year, 363. Sometimes that can round, so let me just check their note and see if that matches. So Tesla's got 362 for the year, so some of that's just rounding stuff. Let's see, we're at 145, I think, so 362. We're trading at 40 times earnings right now. And again, we could annualize that, but it's gonna annualize pretty similarly. Bring that maybe down somewhere between 35 and 40 on a forward-looking basis if we sort of factor out the FSD beta revenue recognition. All right, so let's see what else. Factories, guidance. So we did get an update on guidance. Factories, they talked a bit about Maybe a little bit more on that on the call, and then deferred revenue. All right. Uh-oh. Didn't mean to put that on screen. Rob is correct, Tesla's wrong. I don't know what I'm correct about that Tesla would be wrong about, but that seems unlikely. Let's see. Right, I'm just kind of looking back through, see if there's anything here that's worth mentioning, and I'll try to look at chats. Rob did the operating margin wrong. Did I calculate wrong? Was it 16.8%? Oh goodness. Now I'm scared my whole numbers are wrong. I thought they said 16.8% for the year. All right, guys, let me just check this stuff out. Operating margin 16%. Ugh, devastating. Wrong operate. All right. Is the rest of the stuff right, guys? Let's see where this calc is off. So they must have some operating expense in here that I'm not factoring in. So let's go back and let's just take a look. So their operating expenses is listed as 1876. That's what I've got. The operating income is 3901 though, and I'm higher than that. Total gross profit 6129. So let's just check that. Total gross profit is 5777. So I must have had an error up here somewhere. Or Tesla's doing some weird accounting stuff here that's tricking me. I wonder if they just subtracted out this FSD 354. Haha! Sorry, I didn't mean to clap. But it looks like that gets us back in the right spot. So now I wonder if Tesla's excluding that from this bottom stuff, though. Can you guys let me know if the chat in the chat if you think that that's correct? Auto gross margin X credits. So that's probably the same thing there. Let's try this one out. I think that's probably what it is. All right, let me know if that's good. So I think that the numbers that we went through were correct. They just included the FSD recognition. Operating income is $2 off. That's fine. Yeah, it's 3901. That's probably surrounding stuff. Auto gross margin X credits 24.2 or 24.3. Okay, yeah. So I think it's just that. So sorry I didn't catch that earlier. I wish YouTube would let me like go back and just put a note on that for their recording version, but again, I think everything was correct. It just didn't exclude the FSD recognition, which it looks like Tesla did exclude. So I think that they're not counting that in their gross profit numbers, but they are counting it on the earnings line. 'Cause I think we've got the gap. I guess we just filled that in. So I'll probably have to spend some more time on that, but 5522. All right, so maybe it was 352 and maybe I was just wrong on that. That's probably what it is. Memory imperfect, but close. Okay, I think we got it sorted out, guys. Thanks for the help on that, but that seems to be what it is. They seem to just be excluding it there. So this is giving us a better look then. And unfortunately it means that some of the comments I made earlier in regarding the cost structure being a little bit better than I hoped, inaccurate, so I apologize for that. But it looks like we do have automotive gross margin X credits at 24.3%, excluding the FSD beta revenue recognition. So a little bit higher cost structure than hoped. But again, I think if we exclude foreign exchange, then we're probably actually coming back around and margins are probably a little bit better, with average selling prices being a little bit better and costs, I guess, would be perhaps a little bit higher. So I don't know. I'll have to spend a little bit more time thinking about that, but otherwise, it looks like things are pretty close then at the end of the day. Although being lifted a bit again by the regulatory credits. All So the numbers are good now. Unfortunately, some of the comments were based on having the FSD beta revenue recognition in there. It's not a standard thing that Tesla does each quarter, so I apologize for my sheet being built in a way that did not capture Tesla's adjustments on that. Obviously, they disclose it, but just accounted for a little bit differently than what I would interpret it to be accounted for. You would think that that would be a part of automotive profit, but I guess Tesla's just sliding it in there somewhere else, somewhere. But the question then I have would be, is that excluded then from, I mean, it should be in the net income number. I just don't know if Tesla excluded it there or not. Because it's weird that they excluded it elsewhere and not there. So I'll have to figure that out. I don't want to sit here and like poke around trying to figure that stuff out. But I'm just going to take another quick look at the chat here and see what we've got. All right, so let's talk a little bit about energy. So I mean, I've alluded to this before. I just think it's getting like people are getting a little bit too excited about it on Twitter because I think a lot of it is being built off like bottoms up math, which is good, but you also have to kind of look at like sequential math too and just look at where Tesla's cost structure on Megapack has been, and it's been historically negative and is just now like slightly moving positive. So there's talk of like 50% margins and stuff like that. Once tax credits from the Inflation Reduction Act come in, once Tesla gets Lathrop completely ramped up to full capacity, which it obviously is not yet, then we should be moving more in that direction and maybe getting towards a number like that eventually. I'm not convinced of that and not modeling for that, but I'm not saying it's impossible once some of those credits start to have an influence. But right now it's just like Berlin and Texas. We've got to go through a ramp phase for that Megapack factory as well. Hopefully that happens quickly, but we just gotta kind of go through that period. And it's good that Tesla's starting to show some healthy profit on that line. Because again, we have seen energy gross margins. Let's see if I can just unhide some of this history here. I don't know if it's all in there, but you can see energy margins like went from being positive down to being negative, and this was because of Megapack if you read through the 10Qs. So it's like obviously Megapack had a significant negative margin for a while, and now Tesla started to figure that out and is starting to get it positive is kind of what it looks like to me. So hopefully that's the beginning of a significant ramp up in energy margins. It's just going to take some time. And also the recognition process for Megapack sales, we don't have a lot of information from Tesla on that in the 10Q, like how that revenue recognition happens. So some of that may not happen at all right away. It's just, it's really tough for us to know. So hopefully as that grows, Tesla will give us a little bit more information on how that, actually works. And if it becomes big enough, we can ask more about that. But it just, yeah. In summary, it's going to take some time, but it's exciting. Don't let the expectations that may have been out there diminish from the excitement of this business. 6.5 gigawatt hours this year, that's a sizable business. I mean, what did we do in revenue on energy this year? Almost 4 billion. So it's still a small total of Tesla's, still a small percent of Tesla's business, but $4 billion, that's a big business, and one that's growing, 90% here quarter over quarter. Or sorry, year over year for this quarter, there's a lot to be excited about there. And then you look at the profitability and that's up, 500% year over year on revenue up 90%. So again, a lot to be excited about with that business. We just have to be somewhat realistic in terms of, how that ramps. You also got to consider too that Tesla, although they sometimes change pricing on Megapacks, they may be negotiating pricing with individual customers. On different terms than what's listed on the website. They probably have orders from periods of time ago that they're still fulfilling that maybe happened at lower prices and things like that. So those things are all going to factor into where revenue and margin comes in for quite some time as well, just like we have seen on the car business. It doesn't just immediately jump up to the new selling price that we may have seen in the design studio. All right. All right, so somebody noted, you know, looks good except for the miss on free cash flow. So let's just do some quick math. I think Tesla had, let's see, 34,000 vehicles that were produced this quarter that were not delivered. And then you've got, I don't know, maybe 38,000 average cost on those vehicles. That's going to be $1.3 billion of vehicles that are produced that are not delivered. And that's just the cost basis. So then you're not also taking in the revenue and the profit from them, which is going to help free cash flow even more. So that's going to be, you know, this would move it up to 2.6. And then if you add the profit from those vehicles, another 25% onto that, you're getting more into this $3 billion range. So maybe it looks a little bit disappointing, but that's, you know, the primary driver of that is that inventory increase for the quarter. And eventually those vehicles are obviously going to sell. Tesla's inventory is naturally going to grow, but you know, that's, as that happens, you're still having significantly positive free cash flow here, about $7.5 billion this year. And again, Tesla did pay $500 million in debt, which we touched on briefly. So let's take a look at that, because that's not in my spreadsheet, but I want to look at Tesla's interest expense and interest income. So it's in my other spreadsheet, my more detailed one, but not on this recap page. All right, interest income. So this is pretty exciting. So let's just look at, I'm going to flip back to the browser here so you can see what I'm looking at. Now I'm a little bit out of camera here. We'll get it fixed. Interest income, $157 million this quarter. Interest expense, only $33 million this quarter. So they made $120 million just in interest on the quarter with their cash balance. If you look at last year, Q4 2021, they lost almost $50 million in interest expense on a net basis. So that's almost a $150, $200 million swing there in terms of the, you know, impact of the financials from interest. And, you know, when you're earning, I guess, $3.5 billion a quarter, like that's not the most significant thing, but definitely trending well and sort of offsets some of the, if we have regulatory credit revenue declining, hopefully interest expenses can, at least, you know, this isn't going to last forever, high interest rate environment, all that stuff, but it does help. It helps Tesla's financials versus like hurting it last year, which is nice to see. All right, I think that's probably a good place to stop right now. I'm just gonna scroll through. I think I saw a couple of super chats there, and I'm sorry that I missed some of those. I do appreciate them. It's just hard to like get to questions and do the recap and getting stuff wrong anyway. I should probably look at the chat more often. All right, so as I said, let's roll into the earnings call. There should be a link for that down in the description. That's gonna start in about 40 minutes or so. So the live chat is up over there. You guys can carry on that, and we'll start that in about 40 minutes. So until then, thanks for watching and see you soon. Thank you.